The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. These are some signs that are cosmic in our gospel lesson today. That is, they pertain to big things in the universe, the sun and the moon and the stars and the waves and the sea and nations, people fainting with fear and foreboding because of what is coming on the world, what is coming on the cosmos. They are signs of the end of the age. And I think everybody sitting here today has some sense of the end of the age coming on the world. You look around and you read the news, and how can you escape the fact that things fall apart? Whether they have been falling apart more lately than at previous times in history, that's something we could discuss, but you can tell the world is falling apart. There are signs in the heavens, and they are signs that mean the end. They mean the end just as clearly as the leaves on the trees show you what season it is. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says when the trees start to get their leaves, you know that it is summertime. And you'd have to be blind not to notice when the leaves start to change color and then fall off the trees. You'd have to be blind not to notice that the end is coming. Winter is drawing near. When an age is brought to an end, the powers of the heavens are shaken. When anything is brought to an end, there's usually a sign that it is coming. It's baked in. God bakes it in so that we won't be surprised. So just as you can plan to plant and to harvest based on the signs in the weather and the signs in the trees, you can plan for your hearts to receive Jesus when he comes again in glory, because you have signs. When an age is brought to an end, the powers of the heavens are shaken. And this, of course, will happen on the last day when Jesus comes with the sound of a trumpet and the voice of an archangel. It'll happen then, but it also happens throughout the course of the history of the world. Things ebb and flow, nations rise and fall, kingdoms grow and then totter. We saw this at Jesus' time as the city of Jerusalem was destroyed 40 years after he died on the cross. A kingdom, an age, came to an end, and it was as if the powers of the heavens were shaken. And people always react appropriately. Imagine if tonight you went outside and you looked up and you saw the stars falling and the earth started shaking and then there was a tsunami coming from the horizon. You would react with fear and foreboding just like everyone else. You would think, this is the end. What else can you do but faint with fear and foreboding? Whenever anything is coming to an end, there is great uncertainty. And uncertainty produces fear, especially when it is something that you have loved. When that comes to an end, then it's not just fear and uncertainty, but it's also grief and mourning. This happens as ages of the world come to an end, and it will happen when Jesus comes again in glory. There will be people who are weeping and gnashing their teeth because they didn't want the world to end. They didn't want to give up their sinful lives, the lusts of their hearts, the things that they invested themselves in, devoted themselves to. They don't want to give up their treasures in this world, and they don't want the treasures of heaven. And so when Jesus comes, they will react with fear and foreboding. It's true on that cosmic scale, but the thing I want you to take away today is that it's also true on what we could call a microcosmic scale. It's true of all of the big things in the universe. The world is coming to an end. But maybe you've experienced it also already, even in your own life, that things come to an end. There are these little ends to everything. Moments in your life when it feels like the heavens are shaken. When it may as well be that the stars are falling and the waves are impending and you are tempted, like the world, to react with fear and foreboding. What could it be? Could it be as you grow older and your body fails and you can't do the things that you used to do and you get a diagnosis that puts a timeline on your life? That's the kind of thing that makes the heavens shake, doesn't it? Or when relationships go sour, when trust is broken, when you suffer injury or insult or wrong or betrayal, and something that you held on to dearly is suddenly severed, doesn't it feel like the heavens are shaken? Or when your loved ones are taken from you, whether late in life or certainly early in life, and you suffer grief that no one can understand and no one can grasp and no one can truly sympathize with, when you experience that, doesn't it feel like the heavens are shaken? And aren't you tempted to react with fear and foreboding? When your plans don't work out, when you thought you knew how things were going to go and it goes in a completely different way, or when your plans succeed and the joy that you were chasing after is short-lived and it doesn't scratch every itch that you've got, doesn't it feel like a big letdown? Like the earth is just sort of falling away beneath your feet? It happens on a microcosmic scale as well. It's not just about the sun and the moon and the stars that Jesus is talking about today. He's also talking about the sun and the moon and the stars in your life, the things that you hold on to dearly, the things that you love, the things that you are tempted to trust, the things that you might worship. When those things come to an end, it's just like Jesus describes. The heavens are shaken. Those signs, they come with the end of a thing. And this is a hard lesson for Christians to learn. All of those things, your health, your life, your relationships, your plans, your treasures in this world, all of those things are passing away. They are not heavenly treasures. They are things that are given to you for a time here on earth, and they pass away. And when you see them passing away, when you see the signs, the question for you is, how will you react? Will you react like the world does, like Jesus describes today, with fear and foreboding, with panic and dismay? Will you throw up your hands in despair and say, God certainly can't love me if these things are happening to me? Will you give up hope? Jesus intends to give you hope. So just as surely as he points out what the signs are today, he also tells you what they mean. Listen carefully to what Jesus says. He says, when you see all of these things happening, straighten up and raise your head, for your redemption is drawing near. The end is coming. It's coming on the world and it comes to things in your life. The end is always coming. But what does that mean? The heavens are shaken, yes, and you lose your sense of stability, yes, but what does it mean? Jesus draws your attention to the fact that the shaking heavens mean that your salvation is coming close, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When God takes away from you the things that you love and trust more than him, it is so that you can fit into his kingdom, so that you can learn to love and trust in him above all things. When the heavens are shaken and your life is in distress and you feel tempted to dismay and despair, rejoice and be glad for the things that you have believed and hoped for, that Christ would rescue you from your sin and from death and from this fallen world. That is coming to pass. When the end is drawing near and you see the signs, rejoice and be glad, because that means Jesus is doing exactly what he said he would do. He is strengthening you to receive him in glory. He's teaching you to trust in him above all things. You just said it in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And Christians are learning their whole lives long to have no other gods. And what does it take to teach us to have no other gods except that all of the things that we are tempted to hold on to would finally be taken from us? And that we would learn in those moments not to react with fear and foreboding as if our lives are lost, but instead to rejoice and be glad because your Savior loves you and his salvation is drawing near. So what should you do? The signs are clear. They're clear in the world and they are often very, very clear in your life. And they mean this, that Jesus is coming to save you. That's what it means. So what should you do? Well, here's how Jesus puts it. He says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Imagine trudging along, carrying a heavy load, trying to walk across a field with 2 feet of snow in it, carrying a load on your back. Imagine what it's like to be weighed down in that way. Watch yourself, Jesus says, lest you be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. He says, when the signs of the end are coming, people are always tempted to put them away, to ignore them or to cover them up or to drown them out or to obsess about them and worry about them and be anxious. And so people cover their fear and their anxiety with drunkenness, literal drunkenness, or a devotion to things of this world, diving in headlong, investing yourself fully in all kinds of things that can distract you from the suffering and loss that comes on the world. Or people get busy with worrying, with indulging their concern and their fear, with thinking about it endlessly and ruminating and imagining that by occupying their thoughts with how everything's going wrong, somehow they will make a difference about it. Jesus says, watch out. For when you deal with the signs of the end in that way, when you ignore them or you try to compensate for them or you try to manage them yourself, you become weighed down. It weighs you down so that you will not be able to endure. That weight is a heavy weight, a burden too heavy for you to carry. And Jesus wants to free you from it. He does not want your path to be one of trudging through the snow, carrying a heavy weight. No, he wants to make your way easy. Take upon you my yoke and my burden, Jesus says, for they are easy and light. And here's the thing to note. It is not the troubles of life that weigh you down. Jesus doesn't say, take care, watch out, because these troubles, they're going to be really bad and they might slow you down. No, he says your reaction to the troubles, that is what will weigh you down. If you try to numb yourself or hide yourself or ignore them or worry and be anxious and fret, your reaction will weigh you down so that you won't have strength to escape. And so he says, straighten up and raise your heads. Learn now that when difficulty comes, when loss is before you, when suffering and grief are in front of you, when despair is knocking at the door, when hopelessness seems to be all that is left, learn now to rejoice. And here's how you rejoice. By looking at your Savior who has borne all of these things for you. If he was willing to go to the cross to die for your sins, you who would just as easily have been among those folks yelling, crucify him, and nailing nails into his hands and his feet, it was for you that he was willing to die, to give up everything that he had, who was willing to suffer far worse than you will ever suffer in this life, to give up far better than you will ever possess in this life. He left the right hand of his Father. He left the throne from on high to come and be like you and me, to suffer and die so that you could be saved. If that's what he was willing to do, then can he not also, and will he not also, save you from anything that happens to you in this life? From any of the things that make this world tremble, that make souls dismay. He will certainly save you. He has already given everything he has. Fix your eyes on him. Learn to trust in him. When the day of trouble comes upon you, call upon him. And he will answer you. He has promised. And he will certainly do it. Learn to react in that way to the signs of the end. You will be able to tell who the Christians are by how they react to the signs of the end. You will be able to tell because they will be the ones who are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. They will be the ones who stand up tall and smile and rejoice when trouble comes upon them, not because they enjoy it, but because they see it as the proof that their Savior is coming to free them. There's an ancient philosophy called Stoicism that you hear in the word Stoic. You might describe somebody as being Stoic if they don't show any emotions. This ancient philosophy called Stoicism, which taught the world that as much as you might try to control things in your life, really the only thing you can control is your reaction to things. Maybe you hear phrases and proverbs that come from Stoicism nowadays. It's kind of regaining popularity. Look, you can't control your life, but you can control how you react to things. It's really popular today, and it's kind of a helpful philosophy, but it really falls short. It falls short. It's not Christianity. It can't save you. Because even if you control all your reactions, and life still comes to an end, and there's nothing good, what benefit is there for you? If bad things happen and you just sort of grin and bear it, there's still really bad things that happen, and you're not saved from them. Jesus has come to give you something so much better. He doesn't just say, grin and bear it. He says, no, behind all of those troubles, behind everything that you see in this world that makes you tempted to fear and be full of foreboding, behind all of that is salvation. You don't need to just get used to trouble or get comfy with sin, or deal with grief and misery and loss. He says, no, I want to save you from those things. Behind your trouble is a God who is working for your salvation. Your life as a Christian is not just about controlling your reactions, not just faking it till you make it, not smiling through the tears. No, your life as a Christian is one of trusting in a Savior who actually wants to give you a good life and blessings for eternity, who wants to deliver you from everything that grieves you and ails you, who wants to save you even from sin and death. Being a Christian is about learning to see things as they actually are. And that's what Jesus is teaching you today. He says, you open your eyes, and if you open your eyes like all the rest of the world, you will see what's happening in the world and in your life, and you will be filled with fear and foreboding. And so instead, listen to Jesus. Open your eyes, and when you see the signs, see them as what they truly are, a sign of your Savior who loves you and wants desperately to bring you home with him. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.